سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in declaring his reason and purpose and strategy for his movement, had said, "Asiro besirate jaddi wa abi," that I want to practice and I want to make this movement, and the nucleus of this movement will be the sirat of my grandfather. And in saying and making this statement, Imam Hussein brought everyone's focus on the sirat of the Prophet. Everyone, when they heard this, obviously their minds came to the sirat of the Prophet. And when we look at this statement and his reference to the sirat of my grandfather, what we understand from it, what we get out of it, is not that this is a revolt or an upheaval or an uprising. In fact, what we get out of it is that I am leaving Medina, I am going out and I am standing up, but my standing up is not harsh. It is actually very compassionate. It's actually very gentle. Actually very kind and considerate. Loving. For example, if I say that, you know, I'm making a Husseini stand, that we are doing something that is Husseini, what we understand from it is that, okay, meaning that I'm doing something that in which I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid to stand up, and I'm not afraid of any opposition. This is what it means, right? But when Imam Hussein is saying that I am traveling and I'm trying to practice the seerat of my grandfather, it doesn't say that. What it says is the opposite, that I'm going to be very gentle. I'm going to be very kind. Because the seerat of the Prophet stands for kindness, for gentleness, for loving. That's what it stands for. And this is what I want us to understand today. This is something that's necessary to understand. Because when we speak about Imam Hussein, the idea is different than when we speak about the seerat of the Prophet. And Imam Hussein is saying that I am going to practice the seerat of the Prophet. That's why I'm standing up. That's the basis of my stand. That's the method on which I'm going to stand upon. That's what I'm going to be doing. Right? This is what I'm going to be doing. I remember Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, once said that that if the enemies oppress us, if the enemies are going to suppress us and they're going to put us under oppression, then we will walk the path of Hussein. We will walk the path of Hussein. In other words, that we will stand up, we will not sit down, we will not run away, we will not back down. If we are killed, we will be killed standing up, not sitting down. This is the path of Imam Hussein. See what you understood from it. You know, I mean, what people understood from it was this. When you say that, I'm walking the path of Hussein, this is what it means. And here, when Imam Hussein is making the statement that I'm going to practice the seerat of my grandfather, then this statement is not a threat to his enemies. In fact, the statement is a way of Imam Hussein telling that, listen, I'm going to be very gentle with you. I'm going to be very kind with you. I'm going to be very loving with you. This is the seerat of the Prophet. What do you think that the people in that time of Imam Hussein understood from the seerat of the Prophet? What went through their minds? When Imam Hussein said this and made this statement, that asiru bi sirati jaddi, that I'm walking on the path of my grandfather, what do you think that the people understood by the seerat of the Prophet? Did they understand the sword of the Prophet and the battles of the Prophet? Or did they understand the 13 years of suppression that he went through in Makkah? Understand this. What did the people, when you say that, you know, this is the seerat of the Prophet, what was the seerat of the Prophet? What did he go through? What was it that he was, that you would say that, okay, this is what it stands for. This is the seerat of the Prophet. See, what went through their mind is the oppression that the Prophet went through. The suppression that he went through. And in those times, that with all the hardship that he's going to, with him saying, Inna qawmi la ya'alamun, Allah forgive my people, they do not know. You see, this is the seerat of the Prophet. And this is very important for us to understand, because obviously I want to speak about the seerah of the Prophet that's going to come later. But in order to establish the relationship of Karbala and the seerah of the Prophet is what I'm trying to do from here. So because this is a very big part of Imam Hussein's mission, and if we understand it, then it will really help us to know how to take the lessons from Karbala. What are the way in which we take the lessons from Karbala? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The statement of Imam Hussein is telling the people that do not be afraid of my stand. I am not standing up to cause fitna. I'm not standing up to hurt anyone or to cause harm to anyone. What I'm going to do is establish the seerat of the Prophet, which is kindness, which is gentle, which is loving. And then when he speaks about his father, and he mentions his father, and says that, Asiru bi sirati jaddi wa abi Ali ibn Abi Talib, that I will practice the way of my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he says that, what is he saying? Does he mean all the battles that Imam Ali fought? Or does he mean the 25 years of isolation and suppression he went through? See, understand this. What is he alluding to when he's saying this? He's saying, look at the seerat of my father. What is the seerat of my father? The seerat of my father, again, is the same as my grandfather. It is gentleness. It is kindness. It is compassion. See, this is what we understood from the seerat of the Prophet. Yes, there is a fear that batil and falsehood has of haq. Whenever truth and falsehood meet each other, you will see that naturally Allah has put fear in the heart of batil. They put fear in the heart of batil. That's naturally the case. Even though the batil might be big, but if the haq, if the truth sneezes, the batil will be worried. There's something behind this. Right? There will be something behind this. Right? Why is that fear? That aura, that robe that Allah mentions in the Quran, the robe that haq has, and ahle haq, and the people of the truth have, from those people of the batil. Batil are afraid of them. You see, so when Imam Hussein stood up, yes, Yazid was afraid. There was a fear in Yazid's heart. But that fear that Yazid had was different than the fear that the low-life scumbags of Kufa had when Ibn Ziyad frightened them with the imaginary army that was coming. Remember Ibn Ziyad when he was in the palace of Kufa? You know, he was there and everyone was around the palace. He said, listen, there's an army coming. Yazid is sending an army and Itpul. That army, when it comes here, then the revenge of that army and you will be cut to pieces and this and that. So the people became afraid of this imaginary, it's not even here, and it never came. But there was so much fear that Ibn Ziyad put of an imaginary army in the people of Kufa that they ran to their homes, hid in their homes, and they came out from the back door to kill Imam Hussein. The same people who were standing against Ibn Ziyad, this one imaginary army that was there, that Ibn Ziyad spoke of. He said, this army is coming, this fear. You see, this is a different fear. Imam Hussein, what fear did Imam Hussein put in the hearts of people? Did Imam Hussein frighten people? You see, again, understand the movement of Imam Hussein, how he's laying out his plan and strategy. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When we say that Hussein is mazloom, mazloom, the meaning of oppressed, this meaning can only be understood correctly if you understand before his mazloomiyat that Hussein was compassionate. Yes. What do you understand when you say Hussein is mazloom? Do you think that he had no option, no choice, and that he was just being suppressed and he was helpless? What is the meaning of Hussein is mazloom? In your mind, just think about it. When we say Hussein is mazloom, what do you understand by it? Just look at it. How do we understand Hussein is mazloom? My friends, Hussein is mazloom, this meaning can only be understood when you understand that before his mazloomiyat, he was compassionate, he was kind, he was gentle, he was loving. That's where it comes from. You want to understand how? Let me just explain to you. If you send a loud salawat. How easy was it for people to come and surround the house of Imam Ali and tie ropes around his neck and drag him in Medina? How easy was it? You know, Imam Ali is the same Imam Ali who broke the door of Khaybar, who was a champion of all the Islamic wars, who was the bravest of all the soldiers that Islam has put forward, who had no fear of anyone, and he was known as a fighter. And if you know someone's like that, would you dare go to his house and do something like that to him? You see? Now, if you see someone who is like, you know, weak, you know, he can't fight, then you know, you go to him and slap him around, tie him up, drag him. But this is a champion of all champions. He has beaten all the Arab champions and all the Arab warriors. Single-handedly he has destroyed armies, and now you dare to go to his house, tie him up and drag him with such ease. Why is this so easy for them? My friends, I understand this. Why is it so easy for them? If they looked at the biceps of Ali, they would never dare to go near him. But they know that he doesn't live by his biceps, he lives by his iman. This is what they know. They look at his size and stature. They don't look at that. They know that he doesn't live by his strength or physical strength. He lives by the faith that he has in Allah. This is what he lives by, and that's why it was so easy for them to go to Ali's house. It was like drinking water for them, nothing. They went there because they were certain in the goodness of Ali. They were certain that Ali is kind and gentle. They are certain that Ali lives by his faith. He lives by his principles. They were certain of that. That's why they went there. This is why it was easy for them to come to Imam Hussein also and surround his tents. Same people. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, they knew that Rasulullah had advised Imam Ali that Ali, when you see people rise up against you, do not rise up against them. Do not do anything against them unless you have helpers. And then as long as Ali doesn't have helpers, he would not do anything. He would not shed the blood of Muslims. He would not do anything wrong to anyone. They knew that. They were certain of that. This Ali, who's Ali? Ali, they knew that in the middle of the masjid, as he's tied in ropes and his neck is being tied in ropes, Imam Ali is looking at his wife Fatima, and Fatima is ready to curse these people and asking Fatima, do not curse these people. Do not curse these people. You see, this is Ali's seerat. When you say seerat of Ali, this is what it stands for. And everyone knew that. So now if this is a seerat of the Prophet, that he is kind and gentle. If this is a seerat of Imam Ali, that he is patient and kind and gentle. And Imam Hussein is making this statement at the beginning of his movement, that my movement is based on the seerat of my grandfather and my father. In other words, I am going to be gentle with you. I will be kind with you. I will be loving with you. I will be compassionate with you. This is how I'm going to be with you. Now, if you were there as Imam Hussein's advisor, what would you advise him? What would you advise him? Hussein, you're giving a green light to your enemies to take you easy. Hussein, what are you doing with this advice? I mean, yes, we know that, but don't say it openly. The seerat of your father and grandfather is all good, but listen, you're trying to go out there and you're trying to do something big, you know, if you say something like this, that you will be gentle and kind with them, no one's going to take you seriously. Right? What advice would you give? That you would ask Imam Hussein to change his way? To change his akhlaq? Right? To change his behavior? To change his deen? Understand this, my friends. What is the rising of Hussein? What is the movement of Hussein? How do we understand it from the seerat of the Prophet? Some unknowing people that we have, and we have many of those, you know, who don't have enough knowledge to speak, but yet they speak. Who don't want to learn, but they do want to teach. Right? Who don't want to take advice, but they are ready to give advice to others. You have many idiots who run around, right, saying things. And they allude, because of the fact that they see Karbala, there's blood, there's death, there's that, you know, horrible scenes of Karbala. Because they see that, they say that, you know, this is what? This is something that is stern. Imam Hussein, he was stern. He was harsh. And he was strong. And he showed his hostility and violence in Karbala. This is what he showed. If Imam Hussein wanted to be violent, if Imam Hussein wanted to start hostility, why would he bring his children along? Why would he bring his children along with him? Women and children are coming along with him. Imam Hussain, he brought his woman and children along. It's showing that it's as if he's not going to war, he's going for truce. It's as if he was going to a wedding invitation. Imagine this, when you take your woman and children along with you, I'm like, where are you going? Imam Hussain is going for war. Imam Hussain is not going for war. If you go for war, you take along soldiers with you. You take along fighters with you. You don't take along your woman and children with you. By Imam Hussain taking his woman and children, it's official. He's not going for hostility or violence. In fact, he made it clear. The first part of his statement, this hadith that I mentioned to you, the first part of it is mentioning clearly that I did not rise up to cause fitna. I did not rise up for bloodshed. I did not rise up for power or any type of desire that I want to fulfill. I am rising up to do Islah in the ummah of my grandfather. And how am I going to do it? On the seerat of my grandfather. What is the seerat? The seerat is gentleness, kindness. That's what it is. I will be kind with my people. I will be gentle with them. I will be loving with them. I will be compassionate with them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Hussein wanted everyone to know that this is not an upheaval. This is not a revolt. He's not rising up, you know, so that he can make this fitna and cause discord amongst Muslims. He wanted everyone to know that by saying this. Some people, in order to defend Yazid, and there are those people who defend Yazid, right, and they still, refer to him as radiyallahu anhu, lanatullah alayhi wa alayhim ajma'in. Right? May Allah send lanat on both him and those who refer to him as radiyallahu anhu. Right? All of them put together. They refer to him as that. But they, in order to defend him, they say, well, you know, Hussein, he broke the balance of the society. He created fitna. He caused discord. And so obviously Yazid, you know, had to fight him. Yazid had to fight him. If Imam Hussein didn't stand up, Yazid would not have fought him. He wouldn't have gone to war with him. Because Imam Hussein stood up, that's why Yazid had to do what he had to do. This is what they say. Again, the same thing, my friends. If what Imam Hussein did was fitna, then what the Prophet did was also fitna. When he says that, when you look at the seerah of the Prophet, when he stood up, was that fitna? When he was being banned to the Shaybe Abi Talib with his people, was that fitna? Was that discord that he caused? Imam Hussein saying, I'm doing the seerat of my grandfather. In that seerat, he went there. And they went hungry. They were banned from even getting food. Can you imagine that? They were banned from getting food. And one by one they started dying because of the lack of food, because of hunger. Khadija also died there. Khadija died there. So many people died there. But every time Rasulullah was being beaten up, he would say Allah. Every time he was being hurt, he would say La ilaha illallah. Can you imagine this, my friends? Understand this. The Orientalists, when they look at it, when they look at the Prophet, they only count the battles he's been in. They don't count the heartaches and the pain that he went through. How much heartaches and how much pain and how much injuries did he suffer? They don't count that. They count, oh, he was in so many battles. They don't look at the oppression he faced and the hardships he faced and the suffering he faced at the hands of the people. This is the seerat of the Prophet. You know what the seerat of the Prophet is? It begins with compassion. Then there's logic, reasoning. Then after logic and reasoning, there's patience. And after patience, there's more compassion. And after more compassion, there's more reasoning. And then there's more patience. And then there's more logic, reasoning, compassion, patience. This is what it is. Imam Hussein is saying, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to rise up and I'm not going to say something and do something to create fitna and discord. No. I will stand up for principles. Imam Hussein's movement was gentle. His movement was of kindness. When you look at him, you saw someone who was gentle. Someone who was kind and considerate going for war. This is what you saw in Karbala. Let me give you an example. In Karbala you saw Shimr. He came in the morning of Ashura to study the tents of Hussein. That was the usual habit. He came there to study the tents of Hussein to see, you know, what's going on. How is his army organized? I mean, how is he going to fight us? You know, you get ideas. Shimr came around there scouting. One of the companions of Hussein by the name of Burair. When Imam Hussein asked him, who's around here? He says, this is Shimr. He's a dirty guy. He's a very dirty guy. He said, my Imam, tell me, you know, if you allow me, I will shoot him. You know, he was a good archer. And he said that, just give me a chance and I will shoot him and I will kill him right here. This is our chance to get rid of him. You don't know what problems he's going to cause us. This guy is a sly, cunning guy. Let's get rid of him right now. We have the chance. He's in my range. Let me shoot him. Imam Hussein says, we don't start the battle. But Hussein, what is wrong with you? This guy is going to cause problems for you. Don't you understand that? Hussein said, no principles. The seerat of my grandfather, principles of Islam. And then what happened? It was Shimr who was on the chest of Imam Hussein at the end. He killed them. Understand that? But you know what? Sticking to the principles. This is my stand. I'm not here to cause fitna. I'm not here to create a battle. No, fitna. This is where I stand. How long? For how long will you follow the seerat of the Prophet? Until it hurts you, until it harms you, until it destroys you and kills you? Yes. Until it takes me. Until when? There has to be a limit. What is that limit? It's not limitless. Where is that limit? Where does this seerat stop? Where does this compassion stop? It's not that Imam Hussein took this compassion all the way and that's it. He's going to be dragged through mud because of this. No. There was a place where it stopped. And I want you to understand that also. Where does this compassion stop? When we see the movement of Karbala, Imam Hussein said certain things. At first he was like, Yazid shouldn't be the leader of the Muslims. I will not obey Yazid. I will not do these things. But where does it stop? He sees, then when it came to Karbala, now that slogan changed from Yazid. Yazid wasn't involved now. Now his slogan changed from we shouldn't have Yazid to Hayhat min Nazilla. Hayhat min Nazilla. We will not be humiliated. We will not be disgraced. We will not degrade ourselves. My friends, the limit of compassion is Zillat. How far can you go in this seerat of the Prophet and compassion? Until you have to face zillat. Until the boundary of zillat comes. That's when now things change. Now you have to say, Hayhat minna zilla. Now who's going to define what is zillat for us? Many times we have an issue, okay, what is zillat? Right? When do we become zaleel? You know, we define it for ourselves and we face problems because of that. Instead of us defining it, let the Imam define it.
Hassan.
Let the Imam define when is zillat. When is zillat applicable to you? When is being humiliated applicable to you? this demeaning. When do you stop that? When does it happen? You see, this is where we need to understand, my friends. Let me give you an example so you understand how this zillat is defined if you send aloud salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam Hassan, in his treaty with Muawiyah, had one point that he wrote down in the treaty. And that point was that you are the Khalifa of the Muslims, but you are not my Khalifa. You can rule over these people, but you are not my ruler. I will not take orders from you. I will not take orders from you. He made that clear. You see, when people are ignorant and they don't understand the definition of zillat, they don't know when zalil becomes that. That's why many people, many Shias came to Imam Hassan and said, Ya mudhillal mu'mineen, oh, you who have made the mu'mineen zalil and humiliated. They don't know what is zillat. They don't know when you come into the shade of zillat. This is what Imam Hassan is describing to you. Imam Hassan, when you wrote it down in that treaty, a time came when some of the Khawarij rose up against Muawiyah. They rose up against Muawiyah, and Muawiyah wrote a letter to Imam Hassan and said, Hassan, these people have risen up against me, go and fight them and get rid of them. To which Imam Hassan replied back to Muawiyah and said that, first of all, I will not shed the blood of Muslims, and second of all, who are you to give me orders? I'm not under your authority. I'm not under your rule. I've made that clear in the treaty that your authority has nothing to do with me. I will not follow what you say. In other words, until you have to go under the authority of the zalim, until then you see is the limit of compassion. But when you have to go under the authority of the zalim and the oppressor, that's when you have to say, Hayhat minna zilla.
Labbaik ya Hussein, labbaik ya Hussein, labbaik ya Hussein, labbaik ya Hussein.
This is what Imam Hussein did. He said that, listen, as Rasulullah had advised Imam Ali, if you have companions, then you go forward and rise up. Taking that advice of the seerat of the Prophet, when the Kufans called him and invited him, Imam Hussein went forward and he rose up. But when they withdrew their support and they went back and they turned their backs on Imam Hussein, now Hussein was left with a choice, and that's the choice that these people gave him. They turned around, the same people who invited Imam Hussein said, all right, you know what? Submit to the rule of Yazid. Submit to the rule of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad is calling you, submit to him. There Imam Hussein said, listen, until now my movement was that of compassion. Now if you're asking me to go under the rule of these people, then hayhat minna zilla. I will not tolerate this. I will not go under this. Now is the time where I make the stand. My friends, the battle of Karbala did not happen as a rise against Yazid. The battle of Karbala happened because of Hayhat minna zilla. Hussein left Medina because of Yazid's opposition, but the battle of Karbala happened because Imam Hussein said, Hayhat minna zilla. This is why Karbala happened. This is why this bloodshed happened. He said, this is the limit. That's it. From here I won't go forward. Right? From here I won't go forward. La ilaha illallah. If you ask those people, those cowards, who always ran away from every battle, but came to tie the ropes around Imam Ali, drag him. These are the same cowards who came, and you knew, these lowlifes and scumbags, who came and surrounded Imam Hussein. Same scumbags, they came around Imam Hussein, surrounded him. because they knew what he stood for. They knew that he will not hurt them for no reason. That he was better, bigger than what his stature was. Imam Ali, his stature was strong, but he himself was bigger than his stature. He was a bigger man. Bigger man. In those days, term that used was aqa. Aqa means someone who's big-hearted, someone who's big. Big in the sense of greatness that's in him. Imam Ali was greater than his stature. Imam Hussein was greater than his stature.
That's right.
He was a greater man. And they knew that. And they took advantage of that. And they came and they knew that he was not going to do anything. So now they came and they hurt him. They came. They know that he's not going to do anything wrong to them. This is why, my friends, they take advantage of their gentleness, of their compassion. This is what happened. When Hur stopped Imam Hussein, and he stopped Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein, he asked Hur, "Why are you stopping me?" He says, "Let me go." Hur said, "I can't let you go." He said, "Let me go back to Medina." He said, "I can't let you go back to Medina." He said, "Let me go to Kufa." He said, "I can't let you meet the people of Kufa." He said, "What do you intend?" He says, "I will stop you. I will become an obstacle for you until I get more orders. Until I get orders from above." You know, Imam Hussein became angry. Imam Hussein became angry. Can you imagine that? Imam Hussein becoming angry? My friends, Imam Hussein became angry. You know what that means? That this Imam, who's the nucleus of his movement is the seerat of the Prophet, kindness, gentleness, patience, and compassion to the people, has finally become angry at something. He's not angry at those people who are low lives and scumbags. You know, when Hur said this, he's angry at Hur. You know, he's angry at Hur. He said, "Hur, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this?" Then he became angry. He said, "May your mother cry on your dead body, Hur. May your mother cry on your dead body." This is it. I mean, for Imam Hussein to say that, you have to understand the grievousness of this situation. The travesty of the situation. For Imam Hussein to say that. For Imam Hussein to lose his composure and to say that to Hur. Maybe for someone else he won't have said it. Sometimes you get angry because you expect some people to understand things more than others. Hur, I expect you to understand better. I have more expectations from you. Yes. Shimran, Umar ibn Sa'd. There's no expectations from them. But Hur, there's expectations from you. So when you do something like that and when you take advantage of my compassion and gentleness, this is not right. You see why Imam Hussein is getting angry at Hur. And so it happened that, you know, soon afterwards, Imam Hussein, he started to pray. The time for prayer came. Imam Hussein stood for prayer. His people stood behind him. Hur and his people came and said, "Hussein, we want to pray behind you. We want to pray with you." Hussein, I mean, just now he was angry at Hur. Just now he's angry at Hur. But let me ask Hur, "Hur, don't you think it's dangerous for you to pray behind Hussein, knowing that Hussein is angry at you? Maybe he might do something to you while you're praying." Hur will say, "Hussein is bigger than that." Hussein is bigger than that. He's greater than that to expect something low like this from him. You understand what Imam Hussein is all about. When Imam Hussein mentioned this, when he mentioned that he's going to practice the seerat of the Prophet and Imam Ali, he's mentioning that I will be surrounded by scumbags and low lives. I will be surrounded by cowards and mean people, mean-spirited people who will come around me and they will force me to submit to what they have to say, what they want me to do. So Hussein, what will you do when they come to stop you? You know what Hussein did? What will Hussein do? You know what Hussein did? Hussein, he came to Zainab and said, Zainab, come. You come with me with your children. Rabab, come. Come with me with your children. Layla, come. Come with me with your children. Imam Hussein brought so many children in his caravan that he left no one any excuse to stop him or to siege him. Hussein, with all these children, what are you doing? Hussein, with all these young ones, what are you doing? With all these infants, what are you doing? Hussein saying, I'm going to not let them have any excuse to stop me. My friends, when Hussein was stopped, this was the first tragedy of Karbala. When Hussein was stopped, this is the first, but they blocked his way, right? Even with all the children Hussein had, what excuse did they have to block him? Is he going to fight someone? My friends, what will happen on Ashura is far away. What happened on the 2nd of Muharram is something that a mu'min will start crying for. This tragedy that happened on the 2nd of Muharram is something that we need to cry for. Hussein is blocked. His path is blocked. You know what that means? No. Let me give you something so that you know what this means, what I'm telling you, so you understand this. You know, if you are invited to a party, to a gathering, to a wedding, something, you're invited, and you take your woman and children with you, and when you get to the door, they stop you at the door and said, who invited you to come here? Who invited you to come here? No one invited you. Tell me, how would you feel? Tell me, how would you feel? Wouldn't you feel humiliated? Wouldn't you feel demeaning that you were invited and now they stop you at the door and they're saying you're not invited to come here? My friend, Imam Hussein's first tragedy, that when he came to Karbala, when he came to Kufa, he was blocked. And they were saying, you're not invited here. You know, today we should, on the 2nd of Muharram, we should really, if we are mu'min, we will ask Allah, Allah, take our lives in the 2nd of Muharram. Take my life right now, Allah. If I'm a mu'min, if I have ghairat, if I have any honor in me, I would say, Allah, take my life. I don't want to wait that long to see Imam Hussein in that situation on Ashura. I don't want to wait till then. My friends, crying for Imam Hussein on Ashura is not an achievement. Anyone's heart would melt when they see the neck of Ali Asghar. Anyone's heart would melt if they see the neck of Ali Asghar. But to know that today Hussein's path has been blocked and that these low lives have surrounded Hussein, this is where we need to start crying. We need to ask Imam Zaman, if you want to take our life, take it today, Imam Zaman. I don't want to wait till Ashura to see what happens to Hussein. Ajrakum Allah. You know, I haven't even started reading the Masaib and you are crying. What are you crying for? What are you crying for? You feel it for Imam Hussein? Do Do you feel the pain Imam Hussein is going through? La ilaha illallah. You know, when you go on a journey, if you want to travel somewhere, there's a saying that says, you know, choose your traveling companion before you choose the direction and the path that you want to travel. Choose your traveling companion. Who are you going to travel with? You know, sometimes it's more important than where you're traveling. Sometimes when you look at the traveling companion that you have, you know, your travel, your journey becomes very easy. The hardships and the sufferings of the journey become very easy when you have a good person that you're traveling with. Right, before you start any journey, you should choose who you want to travel with, so that the journey, the hardship of the journey, it can go away. You know, Zainab chose her companions very well. Zainab chose some traveling companions that if she had gone to the other side of the world, she would not get tired of her journey. You know Zainab's companion who they were? When she used to get off the camel, Abul Fazl Abbas used to hold her hand and said, "Give me your hand." When Zainab used to need anything, Ali Akbar would come there and said, "Heart, let me do this. I'm here for you. Why are you bothering?" Zainab, look at the companions. What beautiful companions do you have? What beautiful traveling companions you have, that whenever anyone is in need, you see people like Ali Akbar coming forward, like Qasim coming forward, like Abul Fazl al-Abbas coming forward. They will come forward and help. They would come forward and be there. Tell me, how would you like Abul Fazl al-Abbas to be your traveling companion? How would you feel if Abbas is traveling with you? Would you get tired of that journey? Would you get tired of that journey? Would you feel sad in that journey if Ali Akbar is traveling with you? You know, when you have small children, journey is difficult. When you have small infants, journey is difficult. But Umar Abab doesn't feel the pain of the journey. Every time she holds up Ali Asghar, Ali Akbar is there. "Aunt, let me hold him. Mother, let me hold him. I will take care of him." And she gives him over to Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar cuddles him and says, "I will take care of him." With such companions, all these women who are traveling there, they are in their journey, they have no pain. In their journey, they have no suffering. With such companions, how would you have suffering? How would you have any pain? Or how would you feel unhappy? You will not feel unhappy having such companions. But what happened on the 2nd of Muharram, even with all these companions there, no one is smiling. No one is smiling. Everyone's hearts are heavy. Everyone's hearts are heavy. Do you understand this now? Even with Abbas being there, they're not smiling. Even with Ali Akbar being there, this is not smiling. You know why? Because this is Karbala. This is Karbala. Zainab is asking Imam Hussein, that "Hussein, my brother, what sort of land is this that my heart is feeling heavy?" The men are putting out the tents and they are putting their encampment in their camps, and the ladies are watching them put the tents as if these tents are being put there forever, that they are staying there permanently. Zainab and Umar Abab are watching these tents go up, and each tent is being assigned that this is for you, this is for you. Inshallah, may Allah give you the tawfiq to go to Karbala, to go to Karbala and to see that place where the tents of Imam Hussein were. When we were taken there to the tents of Imam Hussein, And we were shown the different layout, and they were shown that this is the tent of this person and this tent for this person. Everyone's tents were being shown there, and Imam Hussein's tent was being shown. And then they said, you know, the place you are standing, this is the tent of Zainab. Then you know what happened? Our hearts started to flutter, feeling the pain of Zainab on the 2nd of Muharram when she saw these tents being put up, and that heart and that pain that she had in her heart and that heaviness she felt in her heart, you could feel it there. And when you felt it there, then you cried for Zainab and said, Zainab, you felt that pain in Karbala when you came there. But now when you see that when Zainab was given the charge of these tents, and now that Zainab had to pack these tents, and she had to pack these tents, you know how she going to do it. Abbas is not there, Ali Akbar is not there, Zainab has to pack these stands. So now you know what happened. They came to help her. They came to help her and said, Zainab, move away. We will help you pack the tent. We will burn them for you. يعلم الذين هيا منقلب ينقلبون معتم حسين
حسين